broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Good evening and welcome to Nightlight. Great to be with you on a Thursday. And I hope you're all ready to unwind, talk a little show business, have a few laughs. It's been a long day. We've been talking politics. We've been trying to look busy at work, sitting in traffic. Or maybe not. Maybe you've just been sitting around watching TV. That's fine too. You gotta have a me day sometimes, right? And that's what I want this show to be. I want this to be 2 hours of a me day at the end of your day. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. We talk entertainment. We have a few laughs. We interview some really, really cool people. And got a great show for you tonight. We're gonna have my guests tonight we're gonna have a special guest over the phone in just a couple minutes. We're going to check in at a very important holiday party here in Green Bay, kind of a who's who for people in the state, not just Green Bay, but we'll check in there in a couple minutes. And then I'm very excited to have Mike Crute on the show. He is the co-host of The Devil's Advocates. He and Dom host that show here on Civic Media from 4 to 6 every day. Great show. And you want to talk politics, that is the show to listen to. Those guys are like crazy informed and really entertaining. And Crute's a good guy. He's going to be here with me in a little while. And then we're going to talk to, I think this is really cool. There's a dance school called, where is it? The Valley Academy of the Arts. And the Valley Academy of the Arts. And one of the teachers is going to be here. These are young girls doing the Nutcracker, and they're going to be performing it at the Oshkosh in Oshkosh at the Grand. And their teacher is going to talk to me a little bit about the event. I think there are still tickets available, and it's something, you know, I mean, come on, the Nutcracker and Christmas, how can you go wrong with that? So her name is Katarina Abderholden. I hope I'm saying her last name right. We just met today, but she's going to be along. And then I'm very excited in the second hour, the bottom of the second hour, a friend of mine, comedy writer and director Rob Cohen is going to join me. Rob has written for The Simpsons and The Big Bang Theory. He did this really cool documentary called Being Canadian. And Rob wrote the famous Simpsons episode, Flaming Moe's. So we'll talk to Rob a little later in the show. He's always a fun interview. And tonight's question is eggnog, disgusting or delicious? What do you think? Weigh in. Eggnog, disgusting or delicious? 920-264-0606. Eggnog, disgusting or delicious? Call or text. We accept both. Not any huge A-list star birthdays today, but we do have, it's Ted Raimi's birthday. I'll tell you who he is in just a minute if you don't know. But there are some great birthdays in terms of comedies and music. On this day in 1979, The Jerk was released, the Steve Martin movie. Great comedy. A comedy for the ages, if you will. Steve Martin, Bernadette Peters, Jackie Mason, M. Emmett Walsh. A great list of character actors in it. Very funny movie. We might play some clips from that a little later. And then another Steve Martin movie released in 1988 on this day, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. If you have not seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Michael Caine and Steve Martin, I highly recommend it. It's about two con men trying to outdo each other and working together at times. Very funny movie. We'll play a clip or two from that, and we'll talk about that in a little while too. And then a big album today was released in 1979 as well. London Calling by The Clash. The song Train in Vain and London Calling came off that album. So those are three birthdays to an artistic expression, if you will, an artistic commodity. So we're broadcasting live tonight from the City Deck Studios at WGBW, and we have a special guest who is kind of our man on the scene. I guess we could say we have breaking news. This is Todd Michaels. He's reporting from a very important Christmas party that's taking place tonight. Do we have Todd, Conrad?
Yeah.
Conrad Krieger producing tonight's show, folks.
Yep, he's here.
Hey, Todd, are you there?
I'm
I am. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really well. I know the party is probably swinging and not swinging in the unconventional sense, although maybe it is. I don't know. But what's going on there? You're at Jim Schmidt's house, and he's having his annual Christmas party. What can you tell us?
Well, formal Christmas party here at the former mayor of Green Bay, Jim Schmidt's house, as you mentioned. It's gotten a little out of hand. There was a choir singing earlier.
Oh, boy.
We were told, Pete, that 8 o'clock was the cutoff, that the mayor was going to actually toss us out of here at 8 o'clock. And so, as you can tell, it's about quarter after 8 o'clock. And if you can hear in the background, the party is still going on. Jim was just making ice cream drinks for everybody.
Oh, wow. I love an ice cream drink.
Can we bring you one? Because we're going to be heading back that way shortly.
Absolutely. And he's up kind of late. He's a morning talk show host. This is one half of Mino and the Mayor here on the WGBW Morning Show. So it's your job as producer to kind of keep him in line, don't you think?
Well, I've kind of given up, but he's part of the morning show. Here's the other part. John Mino is standing by. We're standing in the kitchen right now looking at the all the food laying around here. Let me give you John real quick.
Okay.
Yep, basically what I'm doing is going through every pan that he still has on the stove and picking out stuff that's dried out a little bit and everything.
Oh, that's
because
the best.
I'm still hungry, even though he has lots of food out here. Yeah.
That's actually the best kind of food when the party is kind of getting late. There's stuff like stuck to the bowl and you got to scrape it off. I love
that's exactly what I'm doing. You've been there, haven't you?
I have, but I'll tell you this. John, I'm first of all, let me say I'm happy you haven't been asked to leave yet, and for good reason.
Well, this is one of the few times, seriously, that a party has gone for the duration and somebody didn't come up and say, John, do you need a ride? John, we'll get you home, okay? So I'm feeling really good about that. So Todd said I could just stay with him tonight.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you got a home here, too. If you want to swing by the studio and give us a full in-depth report, we'd appreciate that, too. But you do what you have to do.
You know, I was thinking I'd come and sleep there, Pete, but you know, with all those windows with no shades, I'm not sure people would like to see that about 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Well, it depends. It depends who we're talking about here. You could actually draw quite a few viewers with these windows. You never know.
Good. Oh, very good point. Very good point.
We could use
hey,
some
how
curtains.
Did your people turn out the other night when I stopped in? Those people from Finland?
Oh, the singers, 7,000 apart. They were phenomenal. And they're leaving.
Wow.
Yeah, I would recommend having them on the morning show. They were so great.
And I would love to.
Yeah, they're going back to Sweden on January 3rd, but they'll be back in the summer. But they were great. They did two songs. It was fun.
Just hearing them rehearse a little bit was fantastic.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was fantastic.
What
Super
do you guys
cool.
have coming up tomorrow morning?
We got a full show tomorrow morning, and I'll put my producer on to tell you because I don't know. Hang on.
Okay.
Well, we got a bunch of stuff tomorrow morning. Mark Houston's going to be on from Bell and Health to talk about stuff that he talks about every week, and that's sports medicine. Mike Clemens will be on from Civic Media to talk about the Packer game. And then at 7:30, Christy Barlament and Dennis Peters from the Glam Band will be on to give us a list of what's going on, not only in Green Bay, but Oshkosh and Apple.
We'll be opening up for 38 Special.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Glam Band is opening up for 38 Special here in Green Bay this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. I love 38 Special. That would be a fun show.
Dennis
so cool.
is here tonight, so we're like hanging out with like really cool people tonight.
Well, you got to talk him into coming on my show. I'd love to have him. So please put in a good word.
Sorry, you're cutting out. I can't. You need what?
I put in a good word. I'd love to. Oh, that old bit, huh? Yeah, I can't hear you, Pete.
Yeah, right.
I'm going through
a
tunnel.
Right, right.
So, hey, Todd, one more quick question. Who are the A-list guests at Jim's party besides Jim?
Oh, my God.
And John.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here tonight.
She's there? Oh, man.
Do you want to talk to her real quick?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Hey, Kristen, come here. Pete Schwab is on the phone.
We are getting a live report. This is from former mayor and morning show host Jim Schmidt's Christmas party. Anyone who is everyone is there. I got that reversed. It's everyone who is anyone is there. Hey, Kristen, how are you?
How are you? We're having a blast.
I was just promoting the party and saying we had breaking news, and this is kind of the big deal right now in Green Bay. I said everyone who's anyone is at Jim's party, and you are certainly
it's
on that
true.
List. What are you saying? They let
it's
anybody
true.
In? Well, that's good.
No, we have the Southwest High School Choir.
Yeah,
they
how were
gave
they?
Us a beautiful serenade.
Oh, that's so cool. I bet it's a fun party. It sounds like a blast. And you got Mino there scraping food out of all the bowls, it sounds like, which looks like it's fun.
It's a little awkward, actually, with John scraping all the food out of the bowls.
Is he asking for a doggy bag?
We are actually in the kitchen right now where the food prep is done, but oddly, none of the food is here because I think John has been here for a while, and I think he effectively demolished the kitchen.
Christian, I have one question for you, Kristen. You're a doctor. Is it sanitary?
It is entirely sanitary.
Okay, good. All right.
100%.
Good to know.
Department of Health approved.
I'd feel better were I there, knowing you are there and you have our backs, health wise.
Yes, this is delightful. Former Mayor Schmidt is a wonderful,
he's a good guy.
Welcoming. He's just done an absolutely fabulous job of making us all feel, and not just welcome in his home, but just that holiday season, that holiday feeling. So it's been
really
delightful event.
Well, tell everyone I said hi. Be careful. Make sure everyone has a designated driver. And come in here and be on my show sometime, will you?
Oh, that would be so much fun. I would love it.
Outstanding. Okay, thanks, Kristen.
Thanks, Pete. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Conrad, we should be there.
We should.
But we're not.
Well, we have to do the show, you know.
We have to do the show. That's what I told Jim. I said, I'd love to come by, but I got the show. He says, no, we're done at 8. And obviously they're not. There's some hangers on there in the form of Todd and John Mino and Kristen Lyerly. So sounds like a good time. All right. So our question tonight is eggnog, disgusting or delicious? My vote, disgusting. I'm not an eggnog guy. Conrad, where do you weigh in on this?
I love eggnog.
Do you? Oh, nice.
It's so good.
You drink it like Gatorade?
Well, only during Christmas time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, who drinks Gatorade? Not around. That would be weird, don't you think?
Who drinks Gatorade around Christmas time?
No, outside of Christmas time. Like, you never go over to someone's house in July and ask for a cup of Gatorade. That would be, like, aberrant behavior, I think. Well, cool. So, all right. So, we got a couple texts. Here's Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation has the classic scene drinking eggnog in the Moose Cup. There is no question about that. And I'm going to put Chevy Chase down for a delicious. He was guzzling it, well, like it was Gatorade. So, he's in the delicious category. Eggnog, brandy, and nutmeg is the perfect Christmas drink. Okay, so I'm going to say that is that's a positive too. So we got me in the disgusting category and three in the delicious category. Okay, when we come back, we'll have more birthday talk for awesome movies. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've always liked that song. I have no idea what they're saying, except Come On, Eileen. Pete Schwabba, this is Nightlight. Welcome back. We just checked in with former mayor and morning show host of Mino and the Mayor, co-host of Mino and the Mayor. We checked in with Jim Schmidt's Christmas party. And it sounded like he told me it was going to be over at 8 o'clock, but it sounds like it's still going strong. And John Mino got on the phone with us, Kristen Lyerly. Todd Michaels, who hosts or who produces the morning show, sounded like it was, and they had a choir singing, sounded like it was a really fun time. Sounded like one not to miss, and yet here I am talking about movies and show business with you. Great to have you with me. We are broadcasting live from the City Deck Studios here at WGBW in Green Bay, downtown Green Bay, on a beautiful night. Very unseasonably warm today, but I'll take it. I don't have any problem with that, personally. I got a couple more texts for our question tonight. The question is, eggnog, disgusting or delicious? You can text us your response at 920-264-0606. here's two more. Like it, but kind of gross, but I don't ask what's in it. So this person just is in total denial, guzzling eggnog faster than anyone has a right to. Maybe if you drink it fast enough, it doesn't matter what's in it. And then another one that says, love it any time of year. Probably in response to what Conrad and I were just talking about. Conrad says he only likes it around the holidays. And I said it'd be weird to have at other times of the year. I'm sure those people are out there. And this person says, love it any time of year. So keep those answers coming. We'd love to hear from you. Eggnog, disgusting or delicious? Let us know. 920-264-0606. Okay, so in a few minutes, Mike Crute is going to be here. He's one half of the hosting duo of the Devil's Advocate here on Civic Media. It's on from 4 to 6 every day. Mike is a good guy and a really well-informed guy and very entertaining to listen to. If you haven't checked out the Devil's Advocate, highly recommend it. And then, as I mentioned, there are not, like, last night and the night before, there were, like, crazy celebrity birthdays. And they're kind of fun to talk about. Tonight, not so much. So we went with a movie theme and music. This is the birthday of the movie The Jerk and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and of the album London Calling by The Clash. I don't know every Clash song, but there are like four or five songs of theirs. When I hear it, I can't turn it off. Rock the Casbah, Train in Vain. You know, they're just like one of those bands. Iconic, really cool. And I'm probably not cool enough to own all of their albums. That's why I just kind of admire them from afar. And I only know four or five songs, but we'll play a little of them later. Also, it is Ted Raimi's birthday. Ted Raimi is an actor and a member of the Raimi family, obviously. His brother is Sam Raimi, the director, who wrote and produced. Conrad, what was the movie I was confused about before? It's Army of Darkness. Sam Raimi. Hold on. I'm going to pull this up because Sam Raimi, he was in a he's like really tight with the Coen brothers, too.
The Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. That's it. I can never with Bruce Campbell. Yeah. And he did Spider-Man. He's just a phenomenal, highly acclaimed director. And I have a story, kind of like a 6 degrees of separation with Sam Raimi. When I moved to L.A. in the mid-90s, my wife and I were unpacking. We were moving into our new apartment, and my wife had a box, and she was going through a doorway and popped a fingernail. It was more painful than it sounds, or maybe it sounds painful. I don't know. So I took her to the closest medical establishment I could. It was the North Hollywood Medical Center. So we're waiting. It's kind of this old rundown building. Well, the doctor comes out. He works on her finger. And his last name is Raimi. And I said, oh, any relation to the director, Sam Raimi? At the time, I had a writing partner named Noah Garber. He was a big Sam Raimi fan. So he said, the doctor said, yeah, he's my brother. And I said, oh, my gosh, I can't wait to tell my friend. He's a big fan of all of Sam's movies. It's really exciting. And he was just like the nicest guy in the world. And we had this nice chat. He told us they were from Detroit and they were kind of migrated out there. And so I get home that night and I call my old writing partner, Noah. And I said, hey man, you're never going to believe who I met tonight. Sam Raimi's brother. He goes, what was his name? I go, Ivan. He goes, Ivan Raimi? And he starts flipping out. I'm like, you know, the famous director's brother? He goes, yeah, he financed all of Sam's movie, put him through film school, financed all his movies, and they write together. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. So about a week later, I go to Ralph's, a big supermarket out there, and I'm walking in. Who do I see coming out pushing his groceries? Ivan Raimi. So I stop him. It's actually probably about a month later because I was kind of surprised he remembered me. But I stopped him, and I said, hey, I brought my wife in, and you know, you worked on her a little bit and we had a talk and he says, oh yeah, she hurt her finger, right? I said, yeah. And he goes, how's she doing? I said, really good. And then we talked for like four or five more minutes, just very casually. I didn't bring up that he was a writer and all that because I was trying to do that. It would seem like sucking up. I just really enjoyed talking to him. He was like just a good dude, a good Midwest dude from Detroit. And I love when I see that nice people or people with serious like substance that are very authentic have success. And that's how I equate. I figure if he's that cool, his brother's that cool. And thereby Ted Raimi, I'm making a big leap here. It's Ted Raimi's birthday, the Raimi I've never heard of before today, but I like the Raimi family is what I'm saying. And Ted seems like a pretty cool dude. So anyway, happy birthday. Happy birthday to the whole Raimi family. I think they're good people. And I'm happy for their success. Okay, so it is the anniversary of London Calling being released. And Conrad, let's hear a little bit of Train in Vain, shall we? Yeah. You know this song. Even if you don't really know The Clash, this is just one of those songs. You say I dare you not to bob your head or tap your toe. How cool is that song? What do you think, Conrad?
I'm definitely tapping my foot right now.
Have you heard of The Clash before today?
I have not.
You have not? Oh, really? You never heard Rock the Casbah?
That sounds familiar.
I'm sure you've heard it. If you heard it, you'd know it. Or if you, if, yeah. Interestingly enough, they don't ever say the words train in vain through the whole song. I like songs like that. All right, that's good. It's been in a few movies, too. Great song. So that's one birthday today. The release of London Calling by The Clash in 1979. Other movie birthdays. We'll hear some clips, play some clips later. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, 1988. I cannot recommend that movie enough. It's kind of a forgotten comedy from the 80s. When people talk about the 80s, it's always Caddyshack and Fletch and, you know, Ghostbusters or whatever. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is second to none, really. It's a great film. And The Jerk from 1979. It's The Jerk's birthday, too. Steve Martin, Bernadette Peters, Jackie Mason, Wisconsinite. So some good birthdays. We'll play some clips later. Mike Crute is going to join me in just a couple minutes. And then later in the show, Rob Cohen is going to be here with me. He is a writer-director. Rob has written on The Simpsons, The Big Bang Theory, and he wrote the Flaming Moe's episode of The Simpsons, one of the classic episodes. So we'll talk to Rob. He's a great interview and a really good dude. So I hope you're unwinding. I hope you're feeling mellow because this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You take it. You pay the price. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. And we are broadcasting live tonight from the City Deck Studios here at WGBW in beautiful downtown Green Bay. Christmas is right around the corner. Hard not to be in a great mood tonight. We got a great question tonight. Eggnog, delicious or disgusting? Most people seem to think delicious. I'm in the minority here, but here's one for... Oh, Conrad, your mom texted again.
Great.
Paula Krieger, yum with rum. Sounds like mom's making it a little stronger than it needs to be, but okay, that's good. Thank you, Mrs. Krieger, if that is your real name. Here's Chris Casper texted in, yes. Sounds kind of on the fence about the question. I don't know what to make of that. And then here's the text. That song, it's a... Train in Vain, I assume. This is from the 414. The song is a great riff, fun child and adult song. Could not agree more. In Milwaukee, you have the arena and the auditorium at the same street The Clash and Frank Sinatra were performing on the same night, 80s combat rock and a tuxedo. Born and raised in Milwaukee, so cool. That's from the 414. Great text. And I got one more here. Eggnog is the best part about the holidays. I am on an island here. But let's see what another Civic Media and a much bigger radio personality than me thinks. Mike Crute is joining us now. He's the co-host of The Devil's Advocate here on Civic Media. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pete. How you doing, man? Why do I feel like that's a fat joke in some way, shape, or form?
No fat joke. I'm bigger than you, dude.
Well, here's what I would tell you. Eggnog dilutes the rum. So I leave the eggnog out and just go straight for the rum.
Yeah, don't mess around. Really, what are we doing here? That's what I'm talking about. Mike,
how we doing? Pete?
Great to have you here. Thanks for being here. I know it's a school night and you've got a lot of things going on, but I appreciate your time.
Sure.
Hey, so tell us, okay, there might be a few people listening to me that haven't heard The Devils yet. So tell us a little bit about your show.
Devils Advocates Radio Show, humbly described as the greatest radio show ever. It's myself and Dominic Selvia, who just happened to be my college roommate. We're both graduates of the University of Wisconsin La Crosse. So,
so cool.
Up in God's country, we learned a few things together. And 30 years later, this lifelong friendship we've developed, we play out every afternoon doing what I call barstool politics.
I love that phrase.
We try to take all comers, and you know, if you call in, you're likely to get your balls busted because that's what we do to friends. But you know, we have a great time, and we certainly entertain ourselves and occasionally even the audience.
That's so cool. It's a great show. I mean, and you guys, like, how long ago did the show start? Like, you didn't do it coming right out of college, did you? Did you guys, I know you guys worked your butts off to get it out there. Now it's really popular.
I did work. I went to college with the intent of working in television. I was a sports guy, and I worked for ABC out of college. And Dominic went on to grad school. He's a businessman by trade. He's got his MBA. And I found myself sort of asked backwards in business for many, many years. And wanted to get back to broadcast. I actually saw a guy named Ed Schultz do a live broadcast at the Barrymore Theater in Madison. And Ed loved his life. And I had a little bit of success out there in the world, but I certainly didn't love it, not the way Ed did. So I found myself November of 2011. I approached my best friend, or at least one of my top three best friends, Dominic, and I knew we had this unique rapport that when we went to the bar and we started talking, it wasn't our conversation. It became the bar's conversation. We had half the bar participate. And at that time, that was when Scott Walker and Act 10 was very contentious and the Capitol uprising had happened. And we were being shushed in the bar, literally, like, you can't talk politics here.
Oh, wow.
And we said, well, that's what we do. You know, we drink too much and we talk politics. That's our fun.
Right.
So we took that concept to the radio, and we've been doing it. Initially, it was just a Saturday show, and within 6 months, as soon as they gave us a little slim daily show, that became our full-time endeavor. And we've been doing the show every day for going on 13 years.
Wow, that is so great. Did you guys start out kind of taking opposing sides? Is that where the name came from?
Well, there were times we would, only one of us would know what we wanted to talk about. So let's say I would come and I'd want to talk about climate change today, and Dom would come and he would want to talk about tax policy. And we wouldn't prepare the other one for what topic we had chosen. So one guy's arguing with facts and figures, and the other guy's arguing with emotion and occasionally anger. But we learned to collaborate and to find topics. But in our perfect world, we are looking for a topic where we can find some point of disagreement and demonstrate that, you know, you can disagree without being disagreeable. And at the end of the day, we love each other. We give ourselves permission to show each other the emotion and have these heated conversations and then laugh it off and move on. It's not that the topics aren't important, but it's also important to be able to disagree and still be friends.
Yeah, I think what I like so much about Civic Media, Mike, is the local approach. Like, you know, everybody, a lot of people watch Fox, MSNBC, whatever your cup of tea is. And it's easy to divide when you do that. But when things come to a local level, or you're sitting across from a guy at the bar or even in the radio booth, you know, you have a civil conversation. And it's local politics are like, hey, we need money to keep the pool open or to keep the buses running. It's people coming together to solve problems. It's not so idealistic, if that makes sense. Is that Civic Media's goal? Are you hoping that catches on everywhere? Because you're a big voice behind this.
Well, I'm one of many, many voices at Civic Media, and the greater mission, the greater purpose of Civic Media is certainly grown beyond my vision.
So what I would say is I can only speak to what I'm trying to accomplish. I'm trying to make entertaining radio every day. If it's not entertaining, nobody's going to listen.
Right.
Above and beyond that, I live in the state of Wisconsin. I broadcast from one block away from the Wisconsin State Capitol. That's been my beat for going on 13 years. So we always want to find what I perceive local to be, which is state level politics. I don't wander into aldermanic races. I play out in too many different cities. You know, it would be boring to the rest. But local for us is finding the Wisconsin take on the national headline or whatever the case may be. For me, that's the local I'm looking for.
That's a great answer. I'm talking with Mike Crute. He is one of the co-hosts of the Devil's Advocates here on Civic Media. Every day from 4 to 6, great show. Do you have favorite guests, Mike?
Oh, of course. Of course. In fact, some of our best guests have turned themselves into hosts on Civic Media. Tomorrow we've got Milwaukee Corporation Counsel Maggie Dawn is our guest. And Maggie, you know, she splits the difference between our show and your show, Pete.
That's right.
Maggie Dawn across the Civic Media Network is at 6 o'clock in most markets. And, you know, she is super dynamic. Any day that Maggie Dawn's on the show, our show is better. James Santel, who does the Saturday morning cannolis, it's like going to a constitutional law class. And it's approachable, and people like it. I know it because I see his ratings, and people love that show. So those were a couple of our favorite guests. Historically, we've, you know, probably made most of our biggest headlines actually with Republican guests. We first made the national news with an interview with then twice elected Senate Majority Leader Republican Dale Schultz. And
oh, yeah.
Dale used to be Civic Media's own Todd Alba's boss when Todd worked in the state legislature.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And many moons ago, we used to call Todd and try to book Dale. And Ron Johnson, surprisingly, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, man, it's too bad that guy changed, because I've got to say, Ron Johnson has probably given me as many opportunities as a political media opinion guy as any other politician in the state, and has made special efforts to give me access to come to our studios to bring beer and be a reasonable human being in many circumstances. And that really has been a regret of mine since 2020, that we don't have the same relationship with Ron that we once upon did.
That is crazy. Wow. All right. So he would come into the studio in Madison and sit with you guys and hang out.
And I owned a station in Milwaukee for about 6 or 7 years. Ron did more than 25 long form interviews with Dom and I in studio typically.
Wow. So that's kind of the cool thing about your job, is you do get access. If people know people are listening, or guests know that people are listening, they're probably a heck of a lot easier to get. Did it take you guys a long time to build a following, Mike? How long did that take before you really had, like, your followers?
Here's the shocking part. The first time we ever went on the air was, like, February of 2012. That was the first time we actually played out. We had done podcasts and had done some dress rehearsals, but it was the first time we had a live show. We played on what used to be the mic, the Progressive Mic in Madison, Wisconsin. And when we went out that Saturday at noon, Dom and I had a 1 hour slot, and we played from noon to one. And during that 1 hour slot, we got 8 or 9 callers. And the first caller was Brett Halsey, who a few of our listeners tonight might remember. He was a goofball state lawmaker who eventually ran for governor as a Democrat against Mary Burke in 2014. But literally our first caller ever within like 10 minutes of being on the air was a sitting assembly rep from the Madison area. And people liked it. They liked that we would take their calls, that we would engage with them, Republicans, Democrats, whatever.
Yeah.
That's, you know, doing the radio show, and I've done a lot of business around doing this radio show over the last decade, but I can tell you the radio show, the talking to the people, that's the joy, Pete. That's what I'm in it for.
I could not agree more. That I totally agree. And connecting with the listener, that's what it's all about. Mike, I have one more political question for you. Then I'm hoping we can talk a little show business because I want to find out what you're watching. But you're such a laid-back guy. Do you ever get to a point, and we got about 1 minute to break, do you ever get to a point where you're like ready to blow your top with a caller? Who's
every
gotten
day.
Under your skin?
Where did you get the impression I'm a laid-back guy?
Well, off the air anyway. You're pretty chill.
I am one of the most high-strung human beings you're ever going to meet. I wake up every single day with a smile on my face, Pete, and then somebody wrecks it. Every day. Every day somebody wrecks it for me.
Well, don't turn on the news. That's what you got to do. You can't turn on the news of the TV unless you're talking about someone in your own home.
For me. I got to watch the news.
You're like one of those people that likes to kind of get themselves ticked off.
I do.
That's great. And you talk politics even when you're not on the air. That's what I love. Like, it's just part of your fabric, which is pretty cool.
That I do. Like it or not, my wife could leave it sometimes. But, yeah, I'm absolutely a politics guy. That's my blood sport.
That's pretty cool. So here we do entertainment. We do fun stuff. And Mike's going to come back. He's going to sit through 60 seconds here. We're going to find out what Mike Crude is watching on TV. It's Pete Schwabba. Oh, Rob Cohen is coming up at 9:30. You're not going to want to miss this, you guys. Stay tuned to Nightlight. He's a Simpsons writer, Big Bang Theory, comedy writer, director. He wrote the Flaming Moe's episode of Simpson, and he's a great of the Simpsons. He's a great interview. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, I want your board size, but lately when I look into your eyes, I'm going down, down, down.
Welcome back to Nightlight. We're broadcasting live from City Deck in Green Bay. Beautiful WGBW studios. Our question tonight, folks, is eggnog, disgusting or delicious? Most of you are saying delicious. Mike Crute could do without it. He'll just take the rum. And speaking of Mike Crute, he is still on the phone, and we're going to talk show business a little bit. But Mike, I think this text is obviously directed to Mike. We got another one from the 414. Please remind Crutey, it's the greatest show on the radio. I assume he's talking about the Devil's Advocate. Welcome back, Mike.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad the audience remembers.
That sounds like this guy just listens to Civic Media all day, which I'm fine with. I could use the texts. I don't have the I don't probably get as many texts as you guys. But so when Mike Crute is not talking politics, what are you watching, Mike?
Well, I'm a Game of Thrones guy, so I'm looking forward to that coming back. I'm one of those guys. I love the HBO Sunday night shows. Some have been not worthy, but I mean, all the way back to The Sopranos, I would watch Sunday nights, and I would like that rollout of a new episode every Sunday. Now, I have grown to love Stranger Things. I never thought I would.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And I, you know, in terms of my daily fare, I'm probably loyalist or most loyal to the Colbert Show. I love Colbert because, you know, I feel like we share sort of where entertainment meets politics. Colbert and I have a similar thing. But my wife has talked me in recently to watching a show called Jury Duty. I don't know if you're familiar.
Very funny.
But one guy basically isn't in on the joke, and everybody else is an actor. And the craziest stuff happens in this courtroom set sort of comedy drama. And it's reality TV, but it is some funny stuff. My wife's been making me watch that. But Pete, you know, I'm
I prefer the funny. Yeah. You know, I like the comedy. And when I read a book, and I probably only read one or two books a year, and that's because John Grisham only writes one or two books a year.
Oh,
and
nice.
Whenever he writes, I read those books, and I would cast my fiction taste onto my movie taste. You know, I love The Pelican Brief and,
sure.
and some of the different Grisham genre sort of legal thrillers, if you will.
Right. I found Jury Duty. The scene in Jury Duty where the Asian guy is there's a guy who barely speaks English is teaching him how to play that game with the sticks. Is teaching him how to play, teaching the guy who's not in on the joke how to play this game. And all of a sudden, he says, "Oh, this is terrible." And he looks really sad. He says, "I owe you $2,000." And the guy that's not in on the joke is like, "No, you don't have to pay me $2,000." Like, that show is so well done. And James Marsden is really funny in it. They actually have a Hollywood kind of celebrity as a jury alternate. Very funny show. You got good taste, Mike.
Yeah, he's in, what was it, Westworld on HBO, and he was in Sonic the Hedgehog, which I guess they wouldn't have right. realized had I not watched Jury Duty.
You and I think, have talked about The Sopranos before. Did you like the ending or not?
I did. I liked the song. I just assumed, yeah. you know, I assumed the worst. I assumed that was, in lieu of showing us dead Tony on the sidewalk, it gave those that wanted to imagine some happy ending for The Sopranos, it gave them permission to do so. But those of us that live in the real world knows or strongly suspect that was Tony's last day.
That was his fate. Yeah, definitely. Do you have a two-part question, Mike? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Oh, absolutely, man.
Okay. Okay. And what is your favorite Christmas movie?
It's got to be Christmas Vacation, you know, of the genre that I actually enjoy and I don't watch for the sake of the kids. But, right. you know, when they drag Clark's boss, cousin
Eddie
goes and gets the boss and drags his ass down there for lack of a Christmas bonus. That's my idea of a funny Christmas movie.
I actually think Cousin Eddie is funnier in Christmas Vacation than in the original. And
yeah.
when he's piling yeah. all the dog food in the shopping cart and Clark's drinking the eggnog. I mean, that has become, and I got to be honest, the first time I saw Christmas Vacation, it was summer and I was like, because I love the original so much. But this one, sure. it just grows on you. It's one of those films that the more you watch it, the better it gets. So
I still remember your European Vacation.
Yeah.
That was also a great one in the series. And I love the fact that they kept changing the kids out.
Yeah, right. They're interchangeable. And they kept driving around Big Ben kids, Parliament. Yeah, that was a great one too. Okay, so Mike, let's one more Christmas question for you. Do the Croots have a real tree or a fake tree?
Real tree. It's a fight every year between my wife and I. I've been doing this for 20 years. So every year she can point out every time a needle falls on the floor. But we do real trees in this house.
So you're undefeated. You scored 20 unanswered. Okay.
Yes, and there have been times she wanted the tree on the back porch, and no, we have the tree in the house. It's a real tree, and then I do a lot of sweeping after the holidays.
Oh, I'm with your wife on that one. Okay, last question for you, Mike. We're going to pivot to sports because sports is entertainment too. Who will be the next Wisconsin team to win a championship, college or pro?
I am surely hoping our Final Four Wisconsin Badger volleyball team that are actually in action this evening, I hope they beat the Longhorns, and then it would be a national championship game against Nebraska. Nebraska has already advanced, so I'd like to think that could happen between here and the weekend.
I thought you might say that. And we got a lot of sports on Civic Media here, too, which is pretty cool. So
yeah, not that game, unfortunately,
no.
but we did have the Badgers beating Jacksonville State earlier tonight. The Badger men's basketball team back on the winning track tonight, 23rd ranked.
Outstanding. Mike, thanks so much for taking time out of your night to be with me, and continued success on the Devils. A great job, and tune in.
Back at you, man. Enjoying the nightlight. Appreciate you having me on, Pete.
You got it. Anytime. Open invitation. Thanks, Mike. Mike Crute, co-host of The Devil's Advocate here on Civic Media, every day from 4 to 6. Great show. And they really do make politics fun. Like, it is a political show, there's no question, but they have such a good time. And it is. It's like Barstool Politics. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk some funny movies who have birthdays today. We're going to read more text, and we're going to talk to a ballet teacher and then a comedy writer. A great second hour coming up on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Crowd, there's always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud, nothing ever slows.